My name is Dan Wickert. I'm a member here at Faith Church. And this is my home church. I am a physician. I'm an OBGYN. I practiced, and by the way, doctors always practice. We never get it right. We have to keep practicing. So I practiced for 30 years, and then about almost 5 years ago, 5 years ago and a couple months, 5 years ago, I transitioned out of practice into an administrative role at the hospital. So now I am a suit, so I have to wear a suit every day. So I serve as the chief medical officer or the vice president of medical affairs. I serve as the liaison between the medical staff and the administration at my hospital, Franciscan Hospital, and we are responsible for 3 hospitals in our area, both here, Crawfordsville, and in Rensselaer. So people say, well, you retired, and I'm like, oh, no. I do get to sleep at night, and I do appreciate that. Having not slept a whole lot for a number of years, sleeping at night is a good thing. I will tell you that for sure. I have a wife, Margaret. I have 2 daughters, so one works here at Faith. My other daughter is married, and I have almost 5-year-old grandson. How many of you have grandkids? Grandkids are cool, aren't they? Yeah, we are going to Disney in March with him, and he is already packed and ready to go. And the other day, he said to his mother, Mom, can I pack for you? She said, no, thank you. I'll do it myself. And so all the fun things that we get to talk about. We're going to talk tonight for a few minutes about miscarriage and infertility. Let's pray together. And then I've asked Nee, one of our interns at Vision of Hopes, to come and set a little bit of a stage for you and talk about, well, what might be some of the characteristics? What might we see sometimes in regards to this area of infertility and miscarriage? So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the day and the opportunity to be together as fellow believers in you. And thank you that we can talk about this subject, which is very, very sensitive and very, very hurtful to many individuals. Thank you that we can approach it from a standpoint of, what do you say about it? And how do we have hope? How are we encouraged? And how do we have answers because of you? And it's been a long day. All of us are tired, and I pray that you'll help me to be clear in my speech, and that you'll help everyone to just understand and listen to their ability, that through your Spirit, you would teach us what we want to know and need to learn. Thank you. In your name, amen. So, Nee, if you'll come up and...
Jenny grew up as the neighborhood babysitter and big sister. She always loved children. Even as a preschooler, Jenny would spend hours playing with her dolls. Unlike her friends who might leave their dolls lying around, Jenny was always meticulous in her care of her babies. They were coddled and loved during the day, and at night, they were tucked in with tender care. As she got older, Jenny transferred her attention to real babies. She loved working in the nursery at church and was responsible that she began babysitting before most of her peers. It may have helped that she had 3 younger siblings whom she mothered and loved. It was always Jenny's plan to get married and have a house full of kids. She couldn't wait to be a mother. Her hope chest was full of baby bottles and blankets. After high school, Jenny went to college and met Mark, the man of her dreams. They were married 6 weeks after graduation, and Jenny was incredibly happy. Although they planned to save some money before beginning their family, both she and her husband wanted to have a big family. After 2 years of saving, Jenny and Mark were ready for children. You might already suspect what happened. Jenny miscarried twice and then could not get pregnant again. Despite their lack of children, Jenny's desire didn't die. She still looked longingly at baby clothes and told herself she wouldn't mind if she were sick during the whole 9 months of her pregnancy. When her best friend became pregnant, Jenny cried for a week. Having a child became Jenny's consuming passion. She was willing to try any kind of treatment, no matter how costly or painful. As time went on, she was still unable to conceive. She withdrew from nursery service and pulled out of Wednesday children's clubs. She hid all their books on parenting and frequently refused to go to activities where children would be present. Her husband, Mark, suffers too. He is also sad that he and Jenny haven't had children. He wants to help and comfort Jenny, but nothing he says or does seems to help. Along with his sadness is a feeling of helplessness. Their problem of infertility is not one he's able to solve. They both are praying that God will give them children, but they are starting to lose hope that God hears their prayers and will help them. Their arms are empty and their hearts are heavy. Marriage and infertility brings intense sufferings into a couple's life. They may have always assumed that their future would include children, and they structured their hopes around this desire. They thought that, like most of their friends, at the right time, they would welcome children into the world and cuddle them as babies, watch their first steps, teach them to play ball, send them off to school with a lovingly packed lunch, attend soccer games and piano recitals, help with homework, and save for college. Now it looks like they may never have that opportunity, and they wonder, who am I? All their friends from school seem to be moving on with their lives, taking the birth of their children for granted. The couple who continually miscarries and cannot conceive feels isolated from the people who used to be their best friends.
Thank you very much. So we want to talk about both issues of miscarriage and infertility. I know this can be very painful for many people. And I know there may be individuals in here who have went through and have experienced both either and or both miscarriage and infertility. We want to be very sensitive and caring and compassionate and loving. Although there's significant differences between these two of miscarriage and infertility, at the core is the desire to have children. And the other thing is just remember that this either issue can occur at any point in a woman's reproductive career. So it could be there the first time they've miscarried or could never get pregnant, or it could be at the end of, in the middle of a number of pregnancies, or even the end of three or four pregnancies, and now she miscarriages. And so I think this is a very important topic, and I want to address it from the standpoint of a fourfold discussion for both miscarriage and fertility. I want to talk, help you understand the medical terminology, because sometimes the medical terminology can be very confusing and very daunting. Second, I want to discuss the frequency of miscarriage. And third, we need to talk about some of the common problems. And fourth, I would like to bring four biblical principles to bear on this subject. So first, let's talk about some of the medical terminology. And first, this one may be very hard to hear and understand. But in the medical field, we use the term abortion to describe any pregnancy that is lost before 20 weeks of pregnancy or under the weight of 500 grams. So it's a gestational age and or a weight. So we medically would call that pregnancy an abortion. Now, that certainly is not how we think of it in Christian terms, in church terms, in religious terms, right? But in the medical field, that's how we use abortion. Now, what we do is we add adjectives to the front of the word. And so we say, if you're bleeding and early pregnant, that is a threatened abortion. If you spontaneously abort, that's called a spontaneous abortion. If you electively choose to have an abortion, that's an elective abortion. If the pregnancy is not developing correctly and not going to progress on to be a normal pregnancy, but you've not miscarried yet, we call that a missed abortion. Okay, so very different terminology that we use medically and can be very confusing and very daunting to some individuals who hear. It's just not the way we typically think about it in Christian circles and use the terminology that way. So if your doctor says that you had a spontaneous abortion, please do not beat the tar out of him or her. Don't sue them for slander, but recognize that they're writing a specific medical diagnosis. Now, you may also see or hear the term pregnancy loss as alternative terminology, but we're going to use the term miscarriage. Now, talking about frequency, one of the most surprising facts about miscarriage is the frequency with which they occur. It might surprise you that about 1 in 6 known pregnancies end in a miscarriage. 1 in 6, about 15%. And the number is higher that miscarriage